This radio show is treated as an open forum for discussion in which censorship of information and ideas is greatly discouraged. As such, different ideas, beliefs, and information is presented and discussed in ways some may find offensive. Our goal is to present sometimes obscure or sensitive information in a new and entertaining light, so that the minds of our listeners will be left engaged and enlightened. In short, please remember that these are our opinions. We do not take ourselves too seriously, so neither should you.
And hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us tonight at Down at the Crossroads. I'm Sean Souls with Jake Bell, David Humphrey.
What was that?
Wow, I don't know. Humphrey's fired up.
Woo!
Miss Holly, our producer Michelle Sellers, and Mr. Scott, we in the house tonight. It's going to be a fun show. We got a lot of things to talk about. I think we're even going to replay Hump's angel reading from a few weeks ago.
Because you missed it.
Yes, I missed it, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. So it should be a lot of fun.
Just going to rag on him for a little while.
Oh.
It should be fun. We got a guest scheduled for the second hour, so we're looking forward to that. So we've got a fun show. We want to appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Invite you to please check out our websites at SouthernParanormalResearchers.org, SeanSellers.com, and ChroniclesOfASupernaturalist.com. Check out our websites. We've got our book out. Get a chance. Read it. Let us know what you think about it. Really would appreciate it. Also, if you're listening to us on Jackalope Radio, you can chat at SeanSellers.com. Click on the radio show page, and you get right in and chat. I want to invite everybody to please sign our guest books.
Sign it?
Yes. Let us know what you think about the show, and just give us your thoughts. We'll appreciate it. Jake, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm full of Vietnamese food.
Yeah, yeah. Good times. You know, I had a delicious supper night. I had Publix wings.
Wow.
I had eggs that was... Oh, listen to this. Publix wings, two deviled eggs, some lima beans.
Yeah.
And a salad where the ranch actually spilled out. And much as I like ranch, it was a bowl of ranch and two pieces of lettuce.
That's like good times.
Wow.
That's a weird combination.
Good times.
Wow.
You're doing big things. Yeah.
And you know, actually the deviled eggs was like yellow gel inside. It wasn't like a delicious egg. And when you bit into the egg, it was almost like it used to belong. It was a Hot Wheel car one time.
Where did you get that?
She got that at Publix.
Just the whole meal?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Wow. It was a Publix meal. You know, it's also called, in my definition, a good old-fashioned kick in the groins.
Well, off of that, David, do you want to start telling folks about what we ate?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank everybody that's listening to the show and thank everybody that's on our Facebook page.
Of course you do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you for everybody that's got the book, the new book's out, Chronicles of a Supernaturalist.
Chronicles.
Chronic. We got chronic.
Yeah.
We got hot beef, too.
We're actually watching Man vs. Food.
Yes.
So
please don't act like David didn't really mean what he said.
Yeah, I know. But, Jake, tell us about what y'all had tonight. Hump told me y'all had some type of soup with the meat's bloody and then
beef
it cooked
soup.
In the soup.
It was delicious.
How does that work? What did y'all have?
I'm going to let David go, and I'll get in there.
You know, we got to the restaurant, and it's been here for, I think, about 7-8 years, never tried it.
For a while, yeah.
You know, I was always scared to try it, but Jake talked me into going. I went in there. I was a little nervous, but you know, I stepped to the plate and I hit a grand slam. We started out with some egg rolls, and they're about the size of your finger, and you get four of them.
Yep.
With this nice little sweet sauce with a little bit of spice to it.
Yes.
Those were absolutely delicious. The tea that we had, I was very worried about what we were going to drink, if they even had sweet tea. They had goat milk.
Coconut milk, David.
Coconut milk, all kinds of weird stuff. The tea was absolutely delicious. I think I drank a gallon. So then Jack said, well, we're going to get soup. We're going to get this beef soup. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, we're going to get double beef. He says, it comes out raw, but don't worry about it. It's going to cook in the soup.
It's not raw. It's rare.
Yeah, very rare. It's pink rare. Yeah, blood rare.
It's pink in the middle.
That's mooey.
So, it was absolutely delicious. And the noodles in it were in the bottom. And then it come with the beef, cilantro, fresh bean sprouts.
Meatballs.
Meatballs. and jalapenos, fresh cut jalapenos.
And David ruined himself on the jalapenos.
Yes.
Can you request the meat to be done?
Yeah, but it ruins it.
Yeah, you don't want it done. You want it to cook in the broth.
It's like going to Conestoga and being like, sir, I would like your finest cut of beef. Well done.
Completely charred and
they'll
burned.
Just slap you and then kick you out the door.
So what, it cooks in the bowl of soup?
Yes.
Yeah, it's water, man. It's very hot soup. Come on.
Yeah, it's smoking
it's,
hot.
It's not raw. He's acting like they just cut it off and throw it in.
I mean, it's very pink. It's very rare.
It's oven but it does to cook to rare.
It cooks in the soup, and it was delicious. I love it.
You will not pick up a piece of meat and put it in your mouth and it be pink.
Okay.
No, there's no way.
It flavors the soup, man.
Wow.
Sean's having trouble already.
I'm glad y'all enjoyed it.
Yes.
I really am.
The noodles were delicious.
Good times, man. You know, speaking of good food, you know, we went to New Orleans this weekend. We carried Michelle's kid. I was really excited to get back down there. It was like going home again. We got a chance to go on Lord Chaz's tour. Lord Chaz actually has a radio show now. I think it's on Monday nights for 2 hours. I think it's called, Bite Me Radio or something?
Bite Me.
Is that it, Michelle? Yeah. Bite Me Radio.
Wow.
So that was really cool to be able to go on the tour. And we ate at the Clover Grill, as always, where they got the best grilled cheeses. I carried the kids there.
I need some tots.
You know what? We didn't eat at Flanagan's, but that's where Lord Chaz's tour stopped because it was drizzling rain. Yeah. And I really hated it because I really wanted a chance to go back and eat at Flanagan's and get a patty melt, but I didn't do it. Mm. But we really had a good time. I carried the kids. We had beignets. So it was a fun trip. So
anyone burn themselves on beignets?
They did not. I had to tell them the story about Hump burning himself, but other than that, it was...
He's the cautionary tale.
You know what's so funny about that? I had beignets Saturday night. That's what they give me for my birthday at Wings.
They celebrated Hump's birthday. Yeah. We actually gave the kids, Michelle's kids made a cake for Hump tonight, and they sang happy birthday to him. We enjoyed cake and ice cream.
I felt kind of bad because both me and Sean were out of town Saturday night.
But we celebrated tonight, though.
Yeah,
we had cake and ice cream. It was delicious.
We had brother birthday tonight.
We had our time. It's our time.
David had.
I love beef.
Oh, God.
I'm confused now. Congratulations. Enjoy your beef.
It's delicious.
Okay.
Beef soup.
Michelle, do you have some news stories? Maybe we can escape up in the beef.
I do.
Beef.
Yeah.
The beef eject button. You're gonna read them anytime soon?
Dead air. She said, I do, but I'm not ready to read them yet.
Not at all.
Norway police face review. Think killer acted alone. Police are increasingly certain that masked killer Anders Behring Breivik acted alone, but are leaving no stone unturned in the hunt for collaborators as they try to close one of the bloodiest chapters in Norway's history.
Man, you know what?
Was that it?
You know what? That the whole thing was a tragedy. The whole story, what's going on? Wasn't there some bombings or something, and the police couldn't get to it, and the SWAT team actually had to get on a boat?
He's on an island.
To get there, yeah. And, you know, it's a tragic story, but, wow. You know, it's hard to make you wonder about if they wasn't working in a group, the way it's all went down, if it wasn't a little more connected as possible.
Got a timeline here, basically. It says, 1630, a large group of young people gather in the cafe to talk about the Oslo bombing.
Yeah.
1650, Breivik, or whatever his name is, arrives at the shore of Lake Tyrfjorden. Johans Dalen Giske, this is just a nightmare, who works on a passenger ferry, calls the skipper and says there's a police officer asking for transport to the island. Dude boards a boat and talks to the mother of the island, which I guess is sort of a honorary title. Arrives at the island about 1707. He shoots his first two victims, the mother of the island and a security guard. People start running from the main house. Another little girl is shot 3 times, and several other people are shot. Let's see, one of the girls that were shot crawled through dead bodies to stay alive. Mm-hmm. Basically made the killer think she was dead. And this is in the space of a minute, basically. 9 people escaped on a boat from the pier. Killer walks west up to the cafe and says, "Everyone gather around to have an important message about the bomb attack earlier today." Everyone comes up to him and he starts executing them.
Wow.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that island was a children's camp.
Yeah, but it was from some of the young politicians. Is that correct? And wasn't they? Is the organization of the politician the pro-Muslim? Are diversifying Europe, and I know that's what he was kind of, one of the things he was against, wasn't it?
Right. It's basically, this is somewhat of a religious thing, yeah. And basically, the attack just went on as it was documented in the news from there, where he just started killing, I think, it up to about 80 people, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's crazy, man. You know,
was he caught?
Yeah, he surrendered as soon as they got there. He surrendered.
68 people killed.
68 people.
Wow.
Michelle?
All right. Atheist group sues to prevent WTC Cross from being part of 9/11 Museum. A group representing atheists has filed a suit in the Manhattan State Supreme Court to prevent the so-called World Trade Center Cross from being installed as part of the September 11th Memorial Museum. The American atheists call the plan unconstitutional, and members claim the museum is a public institution that should not reflect a specific religion.
Well, you know, it's one nation under God. You know what I'm saying? And I can tell you there's a lot of different views on it. But, you know, that gentleman that basically murdered them young people tragically, you know, he believes emphatically about being invaded by the Muslims, being invaded about this different stuff. And that's basically what happened to a lot of the Americans, where these people are doing, these small voices are out shouting everybody else. And I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a lot of, you're going to see a lot more people getting fed up and tired of these things.
Yeah, well, for one thing, you really going to spend money on this? You're really going to spend money fighting that?
Absolutely.
Last I heard, didn't atheism as a whole mean you don't really believe in anything? Therefore, why should you be bothered by that?
Yeah.
Why would you take up your time?
Because it's just something else for somebody to complain and get in the news and waste time and
I mean,
social media and suing.
Think about the Flying Spaghetti Monster, right? Why would you if you thought it was basically this Flying Spaghetti Monster, it's complete crap, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to it. Why would you spend your time with it, convincing people the Flying Spaghetti Monster wasn't real?
You know, man, I'm trying not to get ugly. I'm trying to be nice because I'm so tired of that stuff, man. You know, I really wish a bunch of Christians in the name of God would meet them at the courts and beat the hell out of them when they leave and come out and tell them to mind their own business. You know?
Oh, no, you may offend somebody, Sean. You may offend, shame on you.
Well, you know, that's the problem. You know, Christians we're shutting our doors, closing our blinds, just absolutely bending over to everybody else. And, you know, people think because you're a Christian, you don't have a voice, you don't have an arm. And I think it's time to start strong-arming back because a lot of the Americans are getting strong-armed, Holly.
Because, I mean, isn't that what America was founded on? Was in God we stand? So where is, I mean... Not saying where is God, but where are all the followers? I mean, where are all these people that need to stand up to all these atheists and say, look, you know, you have a voice, but we're stronger. This is what America was brought up on.
You know what? There's so much going on. You know, to kind of change the subject similar to this, you know, the whole thing about the gay rights marriage. You know, the thing in New York. Did you hear that they're starting a tour and they're going to come through Alabama this fall? On a bus promoting, you know, the gay marriages and all that stuff. And, you know, that's cool. You know, we've got a lot of gay friends. That's fine. That's not the issue. But that's just almost rubbing things in the face of people, you know? And, you know, people are getting tired of it. You know, let me tell you, you keep blowing up some buses, start stopping some people, they'll think twice before they start doing that. I mean, enough's enough. You know, people say, that sounds horrible. But there's a lot of crazy people. I mean, crazy, crazy people sitting at home, and they're fed up. They don't have any money. Their wife don't last them. They're lonely. They're scared. They're seeing all this stuff on TV. And let me tell you, all it takes is one or two of these nuts start getting together. Think about what we watched the thing a while back about the Nazi party when they got started. You know how the first time Hitler did it, you know, it was that small party. The next thing you know, the numbers of people. People would get tired of it. It's easy to rally these scared people that's absolutely fed up. And, you know, these things are we're coming to a boiling point. We ain't seen anything else, even with those clowns that's in Washington that's going on right now. It's just one thing after another.
Well, you know, Sean, if the American public thinks that the Norway situation is bad, What happens when them sales, and we're to a boiling point in America, and we're just about to bust.
Hump called me today, and he was talking about the guy that had the over 100 and something sex crimes that pretty much, they pretty much caught him. They know he did it. They know he's guilty of it in Huntsville, the whole nine. Yeah. And then somebody made a comment, what was it, that they hope they treat him like he treated the 12-year-old mm-hmm. when he goes to prison, and I hope he's castrated, something like that. Yeah. And the people that, the WSFA people had to come back and tell people not to do that, because he's not proven guilty, but he pretty much admitted to it. But the point is, it's freedom of speech, and you were defending somebody that you pretty much knew they've done that. They've pretty much known that's happened. Well, and without a doubt, you know this guy has abused that many kids. Without a doubt, they know this guy has peekabooed these kids, these people using the bathroom. Hundreds of sex crimes. Why waste the taxpayers' dollars that we don't have? Why don't we just take him out to town square and put a bullet in his head and see the next time somebody else wants to do it?
Because we're weak America. We're so weak.
Getting Hump fired up.
We are. Y'all listen to this. The new American justice system has failed us. If they have 90 counts, that means whether some of it's not right or wrong, look at the Tot Mom, look at the Casey Anthony story. They didn't have anything to go to battle with, nothing. If you got, 90 counts, he's going to be convicted. We need to go back to the old justice system, to American justice, but we're such a weak-hearted American society that it's okay for the... gays to get married. It's okay to be gay in the
but it is. Military. It is okay. It's the state's decision, whatever they decide as a state. No, this is what America's all about. They're pushing all these issues in our face, and the real issue is what's happening with our economy. The real issues is what's happening with our jobs, and they getting these few Bethunes gets up here, comes to these cities, rallies all these people who's just tired and fed up, and makes one big cloud that people can't really see the truth is what's happening in Washington, what's happening in the world today, and it's ridiculous. You know, whatever happens, whatever your personal view on the gay marriages, everything else, that is a state decision. And government needs to get their hands out of it. And if whatever they decide, they need to do it. But if somebody's got enough money, then think about this. If they have enough money to do a nationwide bus tour to promote it, mm-hmm. Why don't we just tax the piss out of them? And they do something to fund these kids that's going hungry every day, because that's wasteful money.
Oh, no.
But what it's doing, it's a hidden agenda, because it clouds what's really happening in your state politics and what's happening in the federal politics.
Well, you know what burns my butt and really grinds my gears? That freedom of speech and the freedom of expression. If I say how I feel about something. And about this, everybody wants to call me a racist, or you're a hater, or you're a racist, or you don't know what you're talking about. This country was founded on Christian moral values. It's wrote on the same beliefs, and yet we are in today's society wanting to change that. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
Either we're going to be on one side of the fence or not.
Let me jump in here and mediate. Exactly what do you mean? Well, how are we getting away from the morals this country is founded on? Let's pick a topic.
Okay.
I think the easiest way... The easiest way is a topic. Let me... It's so easy whenever you talk to this for somebody to absolutely jump up and you claim one way. What I'm saying is what this country is founded on is that people came here for religious freedom. You should be able to practice right. What you want to. It also is a republic. The states here has the right to choose and vote as a people, as a state, as a union. My purpose is, as a Christian, when I holler I'm a Christian, I'm one of the most uncomfortable Christians around, because I don't think the Christians really want me with my beliefs. So I really don't know where to put myself. But at the same time, when I see people in the ways of life and where they're living their life and where it's promoted and kind of glamorized on MTV, on these different shows, it's pumping propaganda in here. Just like in a lot of your low income neighborhoods where they have liquor stores in every corner. So, they're popping up every time you have a influx, they put liquor stores because they're dumbing us down. They're blinding us. They're filling us full of this stuff, and they're weakening us as a society continuously. And my beef, my true beef is, the things we're getting angry and passionate about, we're missing the big picture and the issues because it's simple things to get angry about, and we don't have to dive in depth with what we need to be concerning ourselves with.
So you're saying more that, not that we should go out and bomb buses, rather that we should watch out because people are misdirecting anger towards those issues.
Oh, absolutely. Really, I ain't saying we're going to do it. No. I ain't saying we should do it. I'm saying these nuts are going to do it.
Because they're coming to a bowl.
Why, somebody said, they thought we said...
You said that.
Yeah.
But you said we should go bomb buses, so I had to clear that up.
No, I'm saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, you're warning against it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going
to
happen.
I had to clear that up.
Yeah.
Are we referring to our society of where we're at now?
Yeah.
Is ready to do that. And,
right.
And it's fixing to happen in this country. And I'm sorry if you want to tear up and get all sad and stuff. Because guess what? It's going to happen here. And it's only a matter, I say, Sean, now, that it's a matter before December 31st that something bad's going to happen because people are sick and tired of everything.
You sure something already hasn't?
I mean,
we have stuff kind of
I'm
like
talking
that
about where it
day.
Will be worldwide news, a shock, I mean, absolute shock and awe
but,
of something
Well, you know,
bad.
That's one of the things I talked about even before is that the terrorism is going to change. It's a different version of terrorism because it's in-house terrorism, the way people are fed up, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's enough. And you know, that's...
And people are kind of don't have the leadership, you know, that has been around.
Well, look at the clowns that were on the news the other night debating the debt ceiling, going back and forth. Boehner and Obama. You know what? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was a waste of me missing my cooking show. I mean, I'm sick of it, really. And everybody on Facebook felt the same way.
Yeah.
Obama said just enough to avoid the issue. To avoid the question and answering. He just said just enough. He is an absolute master of that.
Yeah.
He's a master of deception.
Well, he's a politician. I mean,
oh wow,
think about,
okay.
Think
he
about
is. The American people voted him
David,
in.
David, think about his platform. He said he was going to do all this stuff when he got voted in. The American people, according to Obama, voted for these changes. Now, you can say that a lot of these people.
I work for a living.
Now you said the American people, the new breed of American people, has voted him in. The whole breed of American people sits back, and what they say anything, if they have one slip of the tongue, all people jump up and say, okay, oh, he said go out and bomb every bus. No, that's not what was said. Maybe it could have came out the way he could have said it, but come on, that's common sense. I ain't saying do it. If you did it because we say it, something's wrong with you. But they sit back, and they sit back comforted. They sit back and say, feed me. Make me dumber, make me slower, keep me more supportive to whatever the government tells me to do. Don't have a voice in this. And if you stand up and say one thing wrong, oh, we're in trouble. The government's going to come get you.
And a lot of it's misinformation because they're saying a lot of people elected Obama and for some reason tended to project whatever the heck they wanted onto him. No one really knew his real platform, what he was really going to do.
Did he really know?
I don't think
so. Probably not.
No.
But Sean,
I don't think it was very well defined. It was just basically he got up under that change banner and let people think whatever they wanted to think change meant.
Sean and Jake, me and Randy talked about this before I come over tonight. I am a middle-class working male. I have a family. I have children. I have responsibilities. I give back to my community. I give back to other children. I'm one person. I'm angry. I'm sick of it. I'm give out, and I'm to my boiling point. What can I do about it? What are we all going to do about it? Because that Norway, he probably, when it comes out, he acted alone. Because he's sick of it. He's at his boiling point. And that's just what it took to bust his bubble. So what am I going to do?
But also, the guy in Norway, his wife left him. He's sitting at home. He's listening to all these conspiracy stuff. He's reading all these books. He's looking at all this stuff. He's seeing his country go downhill. He's seeing people accept different stuff. He's already mentally unstable. There's no telling who he's talked to, no telling who he's connected to. There's no way in heck we would ever know the truth behind it. And then he takes off and does it, and does what he did. You know, that's going to happen more and more and more, and it should be terrifying because anybody else says anything against anything that goes on, that you'll be vilified and you'll be ousted in your community.
You know why you should be absolutely horrified, mortified, and terrified over it? He let himself live.
Yeah.
Y'all don't find that amazing that he did that and he was done?
Well, look at the laws there. He'll be out in 20 years, possibly. You know, their laws there is ridiculous.
Well, their prison system's a joke.
I was going to say, isn't that the same one on Yahoo earlier where they were saying he was going to this, I guess, high-scale prison?
Yeah, that's it.
It was like a luxury prison.
It is. It's a luxury apartment complex.
Yeah. And I saw pictures on it, and some of the comments were, you know, well, if that's what you takes to get in prison, then I need to go to Norway. I mean, just like crazy comments like that.
And those were all from Americans.
Yes.
Of course.
Duh. There's a problem somewhere in America.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We all have got to do something about it. Our voices are being heard. But what can we really do about it? I mean, what are we going to do? The economy is done. We're done. The debt ceiling's done. Why is China buying the entire world's gold supply up? Has anybody not looked at business matters or any of our financial numbers?
You know why China's doing that?
It's over $1,600 an ounce.
$1,700.
Yeah. But you know what? We don't owe them but 8% of the debt ceiling.
Because we're worried about our credit rating, man.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yep.
Whoop-de-doo.
Well, you know, think about everybody in Washington. If they're a business, they'd all be fired. And it's up to us as American people to go ahead and fire everybody up there.
Democrats and Republicans.
Bring everybody back in. You know, start all over again. I mean, everything needs to be started all over from a municipal level to a state level and then to a national level.
Can it be saved, Sean?
What?
The entire United States of America.
No, this is all part of the master plan. It's speeding down here like a snowball heading to hell. That Merle Haggard song. It's over. Just like every great society, you go back to Atlantis. All the things like this, everything falls. You know, and I think this is the time. It's time for the fall. Everything's over. You know, the dream and everything. If you think about it, a lot of things is over.
Do you think that's why the entire United States suicide rate's up?
I don't know. Jake,
what do you think? We just talked about that for Alabama.
What's your opinion?
I think that either we're going to a point I don't think we can return.
Mm-mm. That's what we're leading to.
I think we're now a global economy, like it, if anyone likes it or not. You know, you're just going to have to deal with it. The things in Greece are going to affect us in some way.
Yeah.
Just as our credit rating and our U.S. dollar affects people all around the world. And our economy affects, you know, we're in a global economy now. Everything we do affects other people. Everything other people does reflects us.
So are you saying, Jake, on the global economy, or who's the controller of it? The United States?
World Bank.
Of World Bank of who?
Well, it's called the World Bank, basically.
Who controls the assets?
It's called the World Bank. It's a bank system, basically. Well, you know the housing bubble.
Yes,
they're part of the problem. Who do you think bought all those loans?
Well, from the way that the structure of the ceiling of where the money's going, the oil companies and investments got most of the percentage of where we're at. Well, then China. Then we borrowed some money from China, but that was supposed to be we were going to buy, sell, and trade to each other.
Right. Now, so if you have those loans, you know, and the reason all these banks were making these loans is because they could sell them off. And they sold them because the World Bank loved those loans for whatever reason. It was something they could invest in and it would get a high gain.
I call it bankrupt money.
Basically,
it's the equivalent to Monopoly money.
It's basically like if they set an entire suitcase full of hamburgers in front of you. And those hamburgers were delicious, and you just ate it until your stomach exploded. That's what happened.
So there's no fixing that. There's no fixing $17 trillion.
All we're doing right now is staving it off.
Do you reckon we could have a car wash and try to make it back?
All we can do now, pretty much, is stave off the inevitable.
Well, what is that going to be? What's going to happen? American families are not eating now. The grocery business has gone up 32% since 3 or 4 weeks ago since we talked about it.
In order for us to stabilize back out, we're going to have to get a lot worse. And people like Ron Paul that's overseeing committee that oversees your U.S. Treasury and all that stuff, he's one of those people that says, look, we need to tighten it up right now before it gets any worse. Go ahead and go through the slim years we're going to have to go through to get where we need to be. And a lot of people like Obama and all that such want to raise the debt ceiling. They want to stave off what's going on so that it's not as bad on possibly their watch. They've got to know it's
going. Oh, yeah, on their watch. It's always somebody worried about what they're going to think or what they're going to do.
Right.
I'm talking about my children's children, if we even can get that far. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me our kids really have no chance whatsoever?
It depends on what we do now.
Well, you know what? I'd like for Sean to think for about this for about a week or something and us do a special show. And Sean, I'd like to see what you could see. No, I'm talking about on our future.
Well, you don't think I can talk about the economy?
Well, I was just wondering because, like, you know, that'd be really
well,
a
well, I hate to tell
show.
You, what we talked about before we went on the air, Sean's batting about 1,000. You need to go to www.seansellers.com and check out them predictions. Because guess what? There's some major hurricanes coming. Did you know there's one in the Gulf now? Going towards Texas?
Yeah. We need those
Texas
hurricanes.
Need it. But a lot of times, too, though, with that ground being that dry and all that, it can't hold that much water either.
It can't, but we got to get it somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's where we normally get our main rainfalls, from tropical storms and hurricanes and such. So
I'm angry. Not happy.
But I don't know.
I mean, the crops are already kind of ruined for this year. Anyway.
I mean, everything. Yeah, it's bad shape. Food prices will be really bad next year.
Go ahead and get some erosion going and get some water in the darn soil.
Yeah. So we'll see. Michelle, you got another story?
I do.
All right.
Man tries removing hernia with butter knife. A 63-year-old Southern California man suffering from a painful hernia apparently stuck a butter knife into his abdomen in an attempt to remove it. The Glendale resident also took the cigarette he was smoking and pressed it to the open wound, attempting to cauterize it. The man showed no outward signs of pain, according to police, and his wife called 911.
That's fitting.
Oh, my God.
That is absolutely American.
That is crazy.
Awesome.
What?
So he tried to push his hernia up and...
That makes me cringe.
Wow.
That's a front page story.
Oof. Wow,
that's not good.
It must have been a slow news
tried to
day
cauterize
in that city.
It?
Yes, with his cigarette. I thought it was interesting because the police said that he showed no signs of pain.
Probably.
Anybody want some crack?
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
I like meth and crack.
I'll do anything.
Man.
Can't go to the doctor. Need money for crack. Boy, I hate to say that, but. You're on some stuff.
Yeah. That's bad news there.
Yeah, ingrown toenails, one thing.
Yeah. Good time.
That's a whole other
Michelle, you got
else.
Another one?
I do. One more.
Let's do it.
Haunted American Idol mansion sold for $11.2 million. Months after a group of American Idol contestants fled a Beverly Hills mansion after reporting paranormal activity, the mansion has sold for an amazing $11.2 million. That's an impressive amount for a home that reportedly features flickering lights, spider invasions, and objects moving on its own. In addition to ghosts and unexplained phenomena, the American Idol mansion features 9 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, a giant pool, marble details, and a motor court large enough to hold 100 vehicles. Hopefully the new owner isn't superstitious.
Wow.
100 vehicles?
100 vehicles.
Sounds like they did some shaking and baking to make that sale.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
I wonder how long it'll take for TAPS is investigating it.
Next month.
You know, speaking of investigations, we've got an investigation coming up, the weekend before Halloween at Buena Vista.
Yes, that's right.
We've got that regular schedule. Looking forward to that. So definitely check that out. More details to come, but it's out there on Facebook, so definitely check that out.
It's basically as close to Halloween weekend as you're going to get this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's what, like on a Tuesday?
No, Halloween this year is on a Monday.
Is it Monday?
We're going to go the 28th and 29th, Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah. And also we're waiting and see. It looks like we might be in New Orleans at the Rathbone in August or November. So be listening for that coming up too.
Hopefully November.
Yeah, I would like to be there in November. That was my choice.
Yeah, it's November, like, please. Would you like to take a bath every 5 minutes, or would you like to really enjoy the nice cool air?
Definitely would like to be there in November.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know.
So we'll see.
That way you can actually survive in the heat.
Definitely. Well, Jake, are we going to move into the angel?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Angel.
Wowzers.
I love my angel.
Now, so you going to set that up?
Yes. Now, basically, we had a guest a few weeks ago that gave David an angel reading. Sean kind of missed it, and I think maybe a few people may have missed it. So
we're going to recap
To get things back in a lighter mood, hopefully, we need to recap it. We're going to listen about David's angel, and I think she hit it spot on.
Yeah, she hit it really on.
To be absolutely...
Ooh, Holly!
In the shower.
What? Get the files going here. If you're... I swear, if you're... yeah, of course, your computer has decided now it doesn't want to...
Now it's not working.
It doesn't want to play. Let's try this. Here we go. Here we go. Finally.
Here we come.
To kind of tell you what I'm getting right away, you have a male angel, and you're very courageous. There's this that you have had to have all your life. And he stands there, and he's very proud. He's kind of pumped up, and he's showing me bare-chested. He's about, I'd say between, he's showing the age 28 to 32-ish. And he's got very tan chest, but what he's showing me is that he's very strong and that he's brave and that you've had to show a lot of courage in your life. And so that's why he's showing me this. And he's cute. He's showing me his abs, and he's got a six-pack there. So you've got this very strong angel that's quite handsome as well. He's showing me he's kind of on a beach and just enjoying that. And so I'm going to ask him a message. And what I do is I interview them while I'm talking to you, and I just keep asking.
Yeah. So he's got abs. Yeah, he's showing her his abs.
He works out.
He's
tanned.
Pack.
He's on the beach. He's very tanned. He's bare-chested.
We drink draft on the beach together. Wow. He's with me at all times. That's my boy.
Wow.
Oh, man. Hey, here's the thing that... I don't think me or Rick has ever let go yet. Let's see here.
That's my boy, Rick.
It's the... Oh, this is the most ridiculous... I think, you know, I don't think it's really ridiculous in the fact that it's silly or she's wrong.
I think she's dead on. That's my angel.
What do you think, Sean? Do you think his angel has got six packs?
Yeah, I think if his thought creates, if he had to create his angel, that's what he would create. Absolutely.
An ocean or a body of water, that's where he is mostly. And I'm asking, is it only got to be ocean, river?
No, it doesn't.
Lake, and he said, no, even taking a shower, you get very good insight.
He's probably in the shower.
You can get strong with him, and also brushing your teeth, anything around water. Even, and he's showing me you drinking water is really, to drink more water, and you will get more insight, and you may not.
Oh, yes.
You know what? That's so open and obvious to jump on Hump and make fun of. It's almost like Hump told her some information to say, go ahead and set these guys up with something funny.
And I'm sitting there with the mic off, just dying. I'm laughing my butt off.
I thought she was awesome. I mean, she got my angel down.
Yeah,
I bet she did.
Yeah. That's good, and know that you are quite a catch, actually. So, and he, that's why he's kind of showing me abs and really proud of himself as well. And you've got a sensitivity, and you're going to be expanding that sensitivity and loving at a deeper level and really showing that person more of your sensitivity. And you're going to be crying a little bit more with them.
Oh,
but that's okay, because it's opening your heart. Your heart chakra is opening. And and the good news is that he's kind of saying you're part of the pioneer of letting men know that they can cry, they can be sensitive. You are, again, kind of not embracing your feminine side, but embracing your more sensitive side, which also, in the flip side, which is so shocking, he's saying to men, and this is good to know, he's saying that the more sensitive you are, the more powerful you are.
Yes, the more sensitive you are,
yes,
the more powerful
I am.
You
know, I'm a very sensitive person.
Wow. You know, the crying, everything else. I mean, come on. I mean, you just want to say, really? Is this really happening?
Yes.
I was like,
spot on.
I was like, am I getting punked here? What's what's happening? Did somebody put her up to this? Absolutely not. I don't think so.
So, do you believe she plugged in and seen your angel? Now, when she plugged in, did she actually see your angel or your angel? Because that's the key.
You know, I thought she was dead on.
I refuse to answer that question.
I plead the fifth. I thought she was spot on.
What's his name?
Brad.
Bruce. Really didn't know. He wouldn't give her the name.
Brian.
It gets to that point.
It's a bird.
But said, I need to look out for people with that I'll actually encounter him.
Ooh.
What was it with R? No, I guess in a real life form.
Yeah, oh yeah. So you're out there looking for him. Oh, you're looking out looking for your angel. Brad.
No.
Bruce.
Angel. No.
Bruce.
Up in Bruce.
Show. And he's kind of just standing there like a muscle guy, and then he has these beautiful wings. And they're not like peacock feathers, but he's very much into beauty and style. And almost kind of a metrosexual, but not really. He's just like
just a plain homosexual,
like sunsets. And I'm sure you are, are liking that too because you have him, and he's in harmony with you. But he's got these beautiful wings, and they are kind of thin, and they go straight out like arms. So if you put your arms out on the beach, oh my God, he is just going to come from behind you and then just emerge into your energy, horizontal and then a little slightly up, and that's how his wings are. And
he will
feel so strong.
Yeah, I will become
so
one day.
Ever, wow. If your bathroom can hold your arms, holding the space of your arms being out anytime you're in water, put your arms up and a little bit up. Not
shower.
All the way up, but just about 10 degrees or something.
Did you go home in a similar position?
I took a shower.
He does stand behind you because he wants you to get the full force of your consequences.
No!
The surprising things that you are actually doing in your potential.
I'm thinking give you the full force of the consequences.
And how strong you are to do your full mission. You're doing quite well. But you're really going to be pushed to do more.
Wow. Have I told you how much I loved you?
Oh, wow.
It's David talking to her.
Yeah.
After all that, because he's basically saying, you've given these guys joke fodder for about 4 years.
You know what kills me? That hour that she give, and I think she talked for about 30 minutes, is enough fuel to your fire for about another good 4 years.
I mean, that's awesome, though. That's just great. That's just great weapons to use.
Is it not?
It is.
Because she kept doing that.
She kept pouring it on.
It was almost like she was giving the rating, and she was getting visuals, and she was getting messed up. Like, ooh, okay. that's what I was wanting to see. Okay. All right, next.
It's going to come from behind you and emerge into your energy.
And become one. Full force.
My energy is powerful. I think we all should hold hands and sing.
Oh, wow.
So I guess humps the bottom with his angel.
Yeah, I guess so. That's very obvious. I just kicked the microphone again.
Yes, sir.
I think I'd kick the microphone after that, too.
Yeah.
Let's see what else she gets into. Let's see.
That was okay, I'm sorry.
Wow. That was David overdriving the mic again.
I'm asking him his name, and I've asked a couple of times about that, and he just wants to
kind of a regular guy name because he doesn't want to say the name.
Yeah, I think the audio is just totally gone on it.
Yep. That's not good.
It was so powerful.
I love your computer, Michelle.
But
womp, womp, womp.
She goes on basically to talk about the name and how if he goes burr, then he'll be there beside him.
Have you gone burr lately?
Burr.
Breeze, like burr, like you're cold.
I'm breezy.
He's just a casual guy that can merge into society, huh?
Yeah, it says I could go to the beach and find him.
Yeah,
huh? Spread your arms. He's going to come up behind you.
Wow.
Whew. I don't know about all that, but yeah. Well, did that really just happen?
That happened, David.
And I kept thinking, is like, she put up to this? I mean, because this is perfect.
Yeah. Now, how would you rank her out of all the guests we've ever had? She's up
after
there.
That, she's a 10.
We need to have her back.
We all need angel readings.
Yes. We want to bring her back. Get out. Like we used to bring, Courtney Kane and them, so we all get our own readings, get them on our show because they did such a good job. Yeah, give us all readings, please.
For free.
Man, huh? That was a pretty good angel reading.
It was definitely deep. It was,
We almost need to have a David Humphrey top 10 moment over the years in the radio show.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, what would populate the top 5? I know the on-air apology's got to be in there.
On-air apologies.
That's got to be number 1 to me. which on-air apology?
There were so many.
I think the big one
was the
sex scandal.
The sex scandal that I had.
That apology's number 1.
Wow.
And then, what else is David Humphrey that's been the job?
Ooh.
Would him and James Kirkley actually get in the fight? Would that count as a...
That'd be number 5. Be 5.
Them getting into a screaming match.
On the radio live.
Yeah.
Then what? Then wasn't it we called him out on the cell phone and he got really mad?
Yeah,
during right the middle of the show.
But
yeah, I think that happened one time. Yeah, I know that happened, but I can't remember. There's one I'm missing that he did something where he wasn't paying attention to the guest.
Didn't he break your chair, and fall out of it at one point at your mom's house?
Did you?
You broke that. You broke it out.
We broke a chair.
Yeah.
But somebody that's did. Not like.
There's been so many instances. There's been so much going on. I can't think of.
The sex scandal's number 1.
That's definitely number 1. Then you got the
apologies.
The apologies. The Easter egg.
Easter egg
contest.
Yeah,
that was horrible.
He was actually drunk on Easter eggs.
Yeah, that's a good. The first spelling bee.
Oh yeah, that was big time. People love the spelling bee.
The first ghostly spelling bee is a good one.
Spell paranormal.
Huh?
Yeah. What?
PA normal.
What was it that you got? Supernatural got you, I think, was the tiebreaker.
It was crazy. And like people are like, y'all really do this?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We're credible and professional.
Those were good times. We definitely want the angel lady back.
Yes.
Yes. You going to get an angel reading, Charlie?
Yeah, I would like an angel reading.
Is it going to be like that guy?
I hope mine is not like that guy. No, I don't think so. What would your angel be like, Jake?
Mine is Gregory Peck.
Wow.
I'm not talking about like he looks like Gregory Peck. I mean, he is Gregory Peck.
Yeah, from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Yes.
Is he riding up on an Indian motorcycle?
He's Gregory Peck. He drives a car.
Yeah. Holly, who would be your angel, Holly?
I have no idea.
Wow.
That would be hard.
David would be your angel.
I'm an angel.
I think mine would be John Wayne.
The Duke.
The Duke?
Yeah.
Rapping John Duke.
Not Elvis, but John Wayne?
You know, Elvis is pretty good, too.
How about Elvis Wayne?
Oh, you know what? I might have... if I had to pick one, I don't know. Elvis would be kind of cool. He would explain a lot of my weirdness, too.
At least you don't sit in a closet with a Cleveland Browns football helmet on.
Yes, that's right. Watching the games. People say, what's wrong with E? That's just E, man. That's just E.
Wow.
Sean's passed out in the bed with no shirt. Full of White Castle boxes.
White Castle boxes everywhere.
What's wrong with Sean? That's just Sean.
That's just Sean. He's drunk on White Castle. He's eating a
bunch
of White
Castle.
We take
it to a whole different level.
Yep. Michelle, how about you? Do you have an angel?
I don't know. I don't. I can't think of anyone.
It's because you don't have one.
My angel works out.
That's obvious.
Yes.
Apparently he does.
And he enters you from behind.
And he comes behind you with full force.
Well, he protects me.
Yeah.
He's got my back.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He says, I'm soft and gentle, right?
Well, no, he's hard.
Did David say he's got his backside or he's got his back?
No, I think a little of a buzz.
My Angel, he's hard.
That's the problem.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That hurt my feelings.
Scott, what do you think about all this? This is crazy. And Scott's just sitting over there like, wow, I don't want to have, don't bring me in on this one.
You know, I kind of love to have Angel like David.
Absolutely.
So there's two people coming out on air.
Yes, sir. Oh my God. Scott, you better be careful. You'll be showering with light. I'm sitting here, Drake.
Well, we're sitting. Tonight, we're sitting over here on the golden seats, guys. It's we're taking it to a different level.
It's There's making me rethink this whole hot tub situation.
Yes!
We got to get to a hot tub.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine Scott showering tonight at home, and then Hump sticks his head in the shower tonight? He didn't even see your back.
Wow.
And for some reason, Hump's got a towel on his head wrapped up.
Wow, that's good times, guys. Wow.
Okay, that's
pretty messed up. You know what? Check us out on the website, www.seansellers.com. Please comment on it. Sign the guest book. Also, www.southernparanormalresearchers.org. And don't forget to check out our Facebook pages and Twitter.
www.angelsgonewild.com.
Yeah. And Humping Dog.
Hey, Hump, what are you going to have? Are you going to have your little your wings and a hello and a little baton?
You know,
a little baton?
I tell you what I'm really thinking about
doing,
guys.
You know, he's sprinkling dust all over.
Yes.
Making everybody happy.
Hey, I want everybody happy. I love beef. I believe if everybody can get to Prattville, Alabama on the 28th and 29th of October, I will be in an Angel costume.
Wow.
I think that would be worth $10 to come out there to see it, to support the Historical Society. Come see Southern Paranormal Researchers. Come see Sean Sellers. Come see Down at the Crossroads Radio. Come see all of us, and come see me in an Angel outfit.
Are you going to wear like a little tutu?
Yeah. I would.
But see, that's not that good, because they can see you out there on Saturday nights at Club 330. That's not that big of a thing.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think we're going to let the listeners of this show pick what I wear to Buena Vista for that weekend.
Oh,
nothing but a smile is inappropriate.
That's right. I think that would be a great idea
for people
that listen to this show.
I think it'd be hilarious to have you in a tank top and a Speedo with a shower robe in case it's cold.
I would do it. And I would look good.
Oh, man.
Hump stage.
You act like that's not normal wear.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's what I got it on right now.
Except they're leopard skin.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Someone said a big Cupid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That would be hot. But I think we're going to let the listeners of this radio show, we have enough time between now and October to pick what I wear at Buena Vista on the investigation.
Only if you wear it one night in New Orleans.
Absolutely, when we go back.
Of course he will.
But I tell you what, hey, Sean, I'll do this for you, and I'll do this for the radio show. We find out when we're going to New Orleans.
Are you
going to
do that for me?
And we'll do that.
Just for you.
From behind.
Holly. Touche.
Oh, wow.
Hee-haw.
This is a paranormal show or supernatural. I don't know what this show is about anymore.
We're apparently gay angels.
Well, we talked about the government. I'm excited. But you know what?
Yes, you are.
I will do that in New Orleans and October. Because there will be listeners that want to go to New Orleans just for to hang out with us to see that.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I'm ready.
Yep. And we know you're ready. That's the concern right now. You are ready right now.
No one's doubting you at all.
Yeah, we believe you, brother.
Can you believe it?
Our sister or whatever you want us to call you.
Well, Sean, I'm going to need you to go get me a two-ton jack during the break so we can put the wheels back on the show.
Yeah, you got it, man. We're going to jack it up and try to get it fixed. Wow.
All right, guys. I'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Wow.
Bye.
Everybody have a good long break?
Yeah, we did.
It seemed a lot shorter than it did really was this time. It's another short break. All right. Well, luckily we have our guest for the second hour on tonight. Let's see here. We've got Sean, owner and author of AdventOfDeception.com and SpiritEntities.com. He has studied spirituality, religions, basically all his life. Just got back from traveling internationally for about 4 years. Defines himself as spiritually independent. And we're going to talk a lot about what he's got as far as content on his website tonight, a few of his personal views, and just kind of go really wherever we need to go. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
Not a problem at all. So I guess we need to start really kind of at the beginning. What got you down going down the path that you're on right now?
Well, I've always had a very strong inner motivation to seek the truth and to pursue spirituality. And that's basically where it's led me today. When I was young, I went through stages of religion and such things as that. And at one point in time, I decided to go solo and not have any type of middleman in between. And since then, everything changed in my life. And I prefer it. prefer going solo, independent, instead of having like a religion in the way. Because I find religion to be... I find all religions to be a form of idolatry around the world, and definitely a form of deception. Although there are many people that need a religion because they're not strong enough to go independent. So it's important to understand that it's definitely designed for a purpose, kind of a two-way purpose.
Right. So if I understand you correctly, you're advocating more of a personal relationship with that that's greater than us rather than people to rely on sort of a middleman like a priest or a shaman or whatever you'd have as far as a traditional view of that clergyman.
Yeah, so the first thing to identify is that we all have an inner spirit or a soul, if you want to identify it that way, if you want to use that type of terminology. So our inner spirit is connected with the spirit world, and our inner spirit comes from the source. So a lot of people use the term God. I usually use the terminology like the divine source. So if a person can identify that we have a formless inner spirit that's eternal, that is definitely a stepping stone at identifying our true source. Next to the point that, well, we are the body and we're going to die and that's it. I don't believe that at all.
So you believe that our experience as a being is greater than that of the physical nature?
And that, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you believe that we can experience the, I guess, a multitude of what... we can experience spiritually while still in the physical being? Do you believe you can teach yourself to do that?
Yeah. So there's a lot of factors that's dumbing down society nowadays. And what that's doing is that it's not allowing our spiritual third eye to be able to visualize, you know, not only certain aspects of the spirit world, but
now, listen up.
It's Down at the Crossroads Radio.
We're dealing with sick people here.
With Sean Sellers.
Dangerously sick people.
Jake Bell.
Great. The world's most boring human.
David Humphrey.
My. The bulimia certainly has paid off.
And a cast of thousands.
You've got to admit it. They are getting better.
It's the greatest thing in the world.